T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. It's the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Final hour of the program today. As we continue to talk baseball, some Packers, get to know one of the newest Green Bay Packers as well, Mr. St. Brown, you're going to hear from coming up here in just a little while. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic. I'll tell you more about them coming up here shortly. But joining us now, longtime baseball columnist Phil Rogers joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you. So give me your I'm sitting here a little while ago going through the Brewers schedule. I'm looking at the Cubs and their run differential in St. Louis and just kind of some of the things that are going on in baseball. Give me your thoughts about the way the season is kind of shaken out after the first month and a week of the season.
Well, in the National League Central, I mean, it's just set up what should be a really interesting summer where, you know, you got four possible playoff teams, and they all seem to be taking advantage of the Reds, who are, going to get beat up for 100-plus losses along the way. The Cubs have, been sort of hot and cold. Anthony Rizzo had a really bad month to start the season, spent a little time on the disabled list, and, you know, they have probably not been as formidable as they wanted. They spent all of spring training talking about getting off to a fast start, and they didn't do it. And then I look at the Brewers, who similarly, you know, after the moves they made to the lineup, you thought at Miller Park they were just going to be banging the ball, and that hasn't really happened either. I looked today, they've outscored only the Marlins in the National League. That's a stunner to me. But, you know, you can knock yourself out early in the year. It's tough to win anything early in the year. And I think this has just kind of shown how competitive. You know, the Cardinals have been better than I thought they would be. And the Pirates, are right there too. So I think it's going to set up a lot of really interesting series as this summer plays out.
So, you know, I'm going to look at the Brewers here real quick. The Brewers are off on a road trip now in which they take on Colorado, Arizona, and then they go into Minnesota. And I said, looking at the month of May, if you're a Brewers fan, you're either saying to yourself that this team's good enough by where they stand right now as far as what they're doing and with the pitching, the bullpen specifically that they've had, that this is going to be a proving ground. Or if you're a Brewers fan holding your breath, this is where the wheels come off because they've got a tough month of May, and they've been a benefactor of playing some, a little bit easier schedule early on this season.
Yeah, I've never been a guy that made too much about the schedule because too many times I've seen that, you start adding up wins and losses on the schedule, and then when they play it out, it's exactly the opposite. So I wouldn't make too much of the fact that, you know, they had series in there against the Marlins and the Reds, the Padres, and the only time I really think the schedule itself becomes a real issue is when you have a team late in the year that's had a bunch of doubleheaders that pile up and they're really having to bring in 6 starters, 7 starters, really push their pitching. Aside from that, luckily, these are National League teams that aren't going to have to play the Red Sox and the Yankees. You would not want to do that. Aside from that, I don't really make too much out of the schedule.
The Brewers have had, as you had mentioned, as far as their struggles go offensively, I said all along, for this team to be successful, about 4.3 runs per game on average for the season. They're averaging right now like 3.7. They're well below that average. So with the fact that only Kane and Yelich, maybe VR is hitting the ball pretty well, but you've got a lot of years going on right now by guys that you were counting on. I'm not panicking. If I'm a Brewers fan, some of these guys didn't heat up till mid-May, end of May, when the weather got warmer last year and when the ball starts flying out of the ballpark, such as Wrigley, such as Great American, such as Miller Park. At what point do you start to look at the numbers and go, okay, this guy's not going to have the year that everybody expected?
Well, the one question I would ask now is whether David Stearns should have made a trade and thinned out the herd a little bit, because I think the playing time issues haven't helped Domingo Santana, and Ryan Braun's not exactly clicking. And so, in theory, and the Cubs have won in part because of their depth. I mean, in theory, having an extra regular is a great thing, but when you're a National League team, you don't have a DH spot except for maybe 10 games a year. It's a little more complicated. And certainly Domingo Santana wasn't traded because he was so great last year and, young guy with tremendous potential. But something hasn't quite worked in the early going. And, I think the question of how much is Braun going to play at first, is that going to open up a lot, enough time? I just think that's been a little bit of a governor slowing down the offense. It's been a little bit drag on the offense so far. But there's certainly a lot of other issues, a lot of other guys that aren't hitting. And there are other super utility guy who I love, just almost has contributed very little this year, Hernan Perez. They're now a little bit like the Cubs. The Cubs with Zobrist and Ian Happ kind of have two utility guys that are sort of like extra regulars, but you wouldn't know exactly where to pencil them in. And the Brewers are a little bit like that now with their extra outfielder, whether it's probably Santana most of the time, and then, with Hernan Perez moving him around. So on paper, it's a good thing, but it just seems like maybe guys come into the clubhouse and looking at the lineup card or finding out when they leave the park the next night, and everybody wants to play, and there's just, I just don't think there's been enough playing time to go around for all those guys.
Talking with longtime baseball columnist Phil Rogers, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You had mentioned over in the American League side of things with the Yankees and the Red Sox, I don't think you can get much more of an exciting East right now. Toronto's just trying to hang around so they don't get blown out. They're sitting three games over 500, but at least the rivalry is alive and well, one of the best rivalries in all of baseball, and that keeps everybody on the East Coast interest at a high peak. But that has been some fantastic baseball.
Yeah, no question. I mean, what the Yankees have done since they added Stanton to hit alongside Aaron Judge, I mean, I don't ever remember a team having bookend sluggers like that. And with the young talent they brought up, Gleyber Torres, who they got from the Cubs in the Aroldis Chapman trade, is moved in and taken over second base. Didi Gregorius, I mean, I don't even know if people think of Gregorius as Derek Jeter's successor, but that was set up for such a position of failure. You know, who wants to take over for Derek Jeter? But Didi Gregorius, who had, been with the Cincinnati Reds and didn't really have a high profile, he stepped up, and he has just been a dynamo. And J.D. Martinez is doing exactly what you thought he would do when he went to Boston. And, yeah, to me, they are head and shoulders. The Astros are very good, but the Astros starting pitching has been terrific. Gerrit Cole, unbelievable, transition from the National League to the American League. You don't normally see that being a good thing, but he's made it one. To me, the Astros are even a tick behind the Yankees and the Red Sox. And when I'm watching baseball these days, I'm watching a ton of Yankees and Red Sox. And you mentioned Toronto. I'm really curious to see how much longer until they call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's just absolutely the best hitter in the minor leagues. And he's 19 years old, but you saw the Braves be aggressive with Ronald Acuña, and I think they're glad that they were. Acuña has played a little bit more than Guerrero. He's 20, not 19, but similar circumstance. And trouble for Guerrero is he's a third baseman, as is Josh Donaldson, and Donaldson is heading toward free agency, and they don't want to squeeze Donaldson. But, you know, there is a DH spot in the American League. There's a way to get at bats. And right now, you know, they're on paper, you know, they went into this year to try to contend. And you think they've got to kind of play their cards sooner rather than later when they're looking at the Yankees and the Red Sox above them. So I'm watching the news every day to see if there's any activity with Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, he's in Double A, so he could be promoted, but only to Triple A. But you know, I've seen a lot of guys go straight from Double A to the big leagues. And a similar guy to me would be Ivan Rodriguez, who just went in the Hall of Fame. Texas called him up at age 19 from Double A, and he hit the ground running. That was a long time ago, but mm-hmm. You know, the point here is it happens. And you know, I think that would be certainly an exciting boost. From fan interest, it would sure be fun to watch.
Hey, Phil, real quick before I let you go, and that is when people start to pay attention to, you know, standings, obviously, you're 35, 45 games into this. At what point do you really look at it and say, okay, here's where things begin to become more real? Because I think until you get past that 40, 50 game mark, I still think that there's a lot of jockeying left to do.
Yeah, when I started covering Major League Baseball, 1984 is the first World Series I covered. You know, the guys around baseball all said Memorial Day. That's when it gets real. And I think as time goes on and we want to have more of a sense of urgency and be smarter and feel like we know more, people want to push that date forward. But I still think it probably is about Memorial Day. And, I mean, you could even go longer than that with teams that are just sort of treading water. I mean, the Dodgers, for so much of last year, we're just hanging on, and you know, all of a sudden, boom! They're your World Series team. It's interesting. Yeah, I think you can lose early. You know, a terrible start is going to bury you. You're not going to be able to get over that. But I still think it's probably Memorial Day until anybody should make any judgments about the power. You know, real. Ranking of the power teams, I would wait until Memorial Day.
Phil, it's always a pleasure. We certainly appreciate your time, man, and we'll chat again down the road, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go, Phil Rogers, longtime baseball columnist, kind of giving us his thoughts on Major League Baseball, the National League Central specifically, but kind of roaming around the rest of Major League Baseball. Good stuff there, as always. And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. And I said this portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. Orthopedically, if you have something bothering you, don't have to live in pain anymore. They can get you home maybe in as little as a day. And you just heard me right, as little as a day. Don't live with pain, whether it's a hip or it's a knee, or it's a shoulder, it's an elbow, it's an ankle, whatever it happens to be orthopedically, they can help you out. All you have to do is call 855-MC-ORTHO, 855-MC-ORTHO, or just simply go to marshfieldclinic.org. Find out all the information, the physicians, the services, the location near you. Again, marshfieldclinic.org, the official healthcare provider of yours truly. When we come back, talk a little more green and gold. Our green and gold analyst, Paul Lemmings, is going to join us. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome! Glad to have you back. Bill Michaels Show continues. Bill Michaels Show continues and getting you ready for Brewers baseball later today. Brewers on the road. They're out in Colorado. Late one coming up tonight. And also getting ready for the Green Bay Packers as they begin OTAs and mini camps coming up here shortly. And the offseason. We're waiting for that... that word that everything has been solidified with Aaron Rodgers. Ian Rappaport reporting yesterday that they are close to an agreement, just kind of crossing the I's, or crossing the T's and dotting the I's, I should say. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, Ian Rappaport saying that this deal is going to get done. It's going to be about $33 million plus a year. He's going to be the highest paid player in all of football. You know, my biggest thing is like, hey, he's earned it, but you still have to wait and see what's going to be available for more money around the rest of the team. But when you heard the deal is just about to get done, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, we've talked about this now for quite a while. No, but we talked about this last offseason. I believe it was a Pete Doherty column last year already that had kind of said, is this the offseason? I'm referring to last year. Is this the offseason the Packers go ahead and extend Rodgers' contract? So, we've all assumed this was going to get done. We knew that there was a lot of obstacles standing in the way, most importantly of which, we have said, Bill, I think you and I have been consistent in this message for a long time. People have asked us and people have wondered, is Rodgers going to do a Tom Brady? Or is Rodgers going to get every last penny he can get? What's standing in the way of this getting done? Is he going to wait until Matt Ryan's locked up? Is he going to wait until Kirk Cousins is locked up? You know, how hell-bent is he on being the highest paid player? So if you look at something like, let's say it does end up being $33 million per year, most of these guys have one-upped the quarterback who signed before them by like $500,000 per year or $1 million per year. Stafford was $26 million per year. Garoppolo was $27 million. You know, Kirk Cousins was $28 million. Matt Ryan was $30 million. So every time the next guy's up, it's like it's an incremental step in additional dollars. Now, if you jump from Matt Ryan on an annual average of $30 million per year to Rodgers at $33 million, I don't think it's going to be easy for any team with any quarterback who's about to get an extension to, I don't see that number being surpassed for a little while. Do you? I mean, that's
no.
It was really, Bill, when did Garoppolo sign his extension with Sam? 3 months ago? Was that like in February?
Yeah.
At the time, that $28 million per year, actually 27.5, was the new standard bearer, 27.5. Here we are 3 months later talking about 33. I mean, I get we're talking the difference between Garoppolo and Rodgers, right? But at the same time, the value of these quarterbacks is sort of in who's ever up next gets the biggest payday. Like, it's been like clockwork. Are you up now? Okay, I have to surpass what Derek Carr got. Okay, now Garoppolo's up. I need to surpass what Matthew Stafford got. Oh, now, you know, who's ever up next beats the next guy. So I don't think any quarterback out there right now who's getting near a negotiation. So Marcus Mariota, he'll get an extension a year from now. Maybe Jameis Winston in Tampa. The next list of guys coming up, I don't think they could possibly have a good enough agent to convince their respective teams. Like, well, Rodgers gets 33. That means Mariota gets 35. Like, 33 is a huge number. And if you don't have, if you don't have an Aaron Rodgers-esque quarterback, and I know, Bill, there's people out there who might argue, even if you do have Aaron Rodgers, 33 a year is just too much to commit to one position. I'm not in that camp, but there's plenty of loud voices out there who just, it's just too much. And it's true. I mean, if you are in the shoes of Brian Gutekunst and you're going to pay your quarterback position $33 million per year, and that's before you pay your backups, which again, not a lot of money, but still a few, $600,000-$800,000 for Kaiser's contract over the next few years per year. You have got to be really, really, really good at building the rest of your roster. You don't have the breathing room that teams with quarterbacks on lesser salaries do. You have to make every decision outside of signing Rodgers perfect. You know, you just don't have the breathing room for other mistakes because that is such a huge chunk of, obviously, your salary cap. What would $33 million be? Would that be 20%? 21% of the cap? I think it would be 20 point something. So, a fifth of your money gone.
Right. And again, I think these guys, I think quarterbacks deserve the money. Don't get me wrong, but when you look at it, and historically speaking, there has never been a team to win a Super Bowl with their quarterback making more than 13% of the total payroll. The salary cap should be right around $181 million this year, right?
What was the number you said? Say it one more time.
$100 million or $181 million.
Off the top of my head, I think you're right in that ballpark. I'd have to, yeah. So if he makes 33 of 181, math on the radio, I think it's like 19 point something percent. But yeah, I mean, astronomical number.
It's, I mean, if you get it right down to the penny, it's, I think it's like a close, yeah, it's close to 19. It's 18.232% of the total payroll would then be going to Aaron Rodgers, which is not a terrible number. But again, going back to the fact that, you know, when you got a guy making 18, 19, 20% of your total, you know, availability, I don't know. Look, at some point you figure one of these quarterbacks that's getting highly paid is going to win a Super Bowl, and then it's going to finally break that glass ceiling that everybody's been pointing at, saying, hey, since Steve Young made 13.6% of his total, you know, salary cap with the San Francisco 49ers and won a Super Bowl, which is back in the 90s, by the way, somebody finally broke through that ceiling. But it's been so hard to do. We saw Joe Flacco get paid, Eli Manning get paid, Peyton Manning get paid. We saw all these different quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers got paid. They haven't been back. We saw Drew Brees get paid. They haven't been back. You see all these different quarterbacks making this money, and then after that, the deterioration of the defense around them becomes substantial, and they just can't get back. They don't have enough offense to get it done. Not to say that defense has to win you championships, but it certainly has to be present for you to win a championship, and we haven't been able to see that. When you see teams like Philadelphia with guys on a rookie contract, when you see teams like Russell Wilson and company on that rookie contract get to a Super Bowl and win it, then they get paid, then things begin to change. But I hope that number is finally, you know, broken by the Green Bay Packers, but it's still, that's a number that I have to say scares me.
Yeah, and I think you just look at it too and you say, let's fast forward to 2019, and of course, just because the number is $33 million on average, I mean, the Packers and Brian Gutekunst, and of course, more importantly, Russ Ball, can figure out where to, you know, at what point is it something you want to backload, where you want to, you know, hit your cap hardest in 2021, 2022, 2023, that can be done. Do you want to front load it? But if you want to look at even 2019, I think if there's a silver lining to it, there's a lot of money that is going to come off the Packers books after this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Matthews is going to have $11 million come off the books. Randall Cobb is going to have $11 million come off the books. If the Packers want to cut ties with Nick Perry after this season, they can do that without a financial hit, without any dead money. That would be saving them $12 million. They obviously, you know, got rid of Jordy Nelson with his 10, but they added in Jimmy Graham making 10. Mike Daniels, I think, has 2 years left on his contract at about 10, 11 per year.
Did you mention Ty Montgomery, too?
I did not say
Ty Montgomery is a restricted, unrestricted free agent after this season as well.
And he won't save you a ton of money.
No, he's only going to save you about $1 million, but still, he comes off, yeah.
And then, yeah, now you know, you did just re-up Corey Linsley. He'll make a good chunk of money for the next 4 years. Davante Adams will make, what, 14.5 mm-hmm. on average over the next four. But these are players you signed for a reason. And those, honestly, if you look at what unrestricted free agents got among wide receivers and even offensive linemen like Linsley this offseason, those are good contracts. Like,
yeah,
those are good players. Believe it or not, making $14 billion a year at wide receiver is a good contract for a guy of Davante Adams' skill level. So it's a scary number, you know, to give any player, even one as crazy talented as Aaron Rodgers, as much of a difference maker as he is, and taking up, like you said, 18.2% of the cap on that player, assuming that ends up being the final math. But you do start to see other big dollars kind of come off the books. We didn't even mention Brian Bulaga, who a year from now you could cut ties with at $7 million worth of savings. So Matthews, 10. Cobb, 11. You know, we said with Bulaga at 7. Nick Perry, you could get rid of 12. So if you had to trim fat elsewhere, there's opportunities to do so a year from now, you know, after the 2018 season is over. Maybe that's the long view that Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst have to look at this. But again, it's why, you know, when Russell Wilson got paid, it's not a coincidence that the Seahawks started going downhill. Once Joe Flacco got paid, it's not a coincidence that the Ravens started going downhill. But the problem was that those teams didn't make other prudent, smart, perfect moves along the way. And if you can manage to be perfect outside of paying your quarterback that money, you have a chance. But just about any slip-up you have and any big dollar value contract you have that is being paid above that player's value, you're going to really feel the ramifications. And it doesn't take long for the Seahawks to fall apart, for the Ravens to fall apart. And that is, I think the Packers, I truly think the Packers are in a good spot. You know, if you go down their cap for the next couple of years and the money that's going to come off and the guys who need extension, I think they're in a good place where they can handle this and they can still fortify a strong enough roster outside of paying Rodgers that much money. But it is clearly, I think, what's going to define the first 5 years of the tenure of Brian Gutekunst is how does he manage any GM, Bill, anybody that would have been hired for GM of the Packers would have given Rodgers $33 million or whatever the number is. Like 99.9% of people would have gotten that job and said, sure, Rodgers, here's a blank check, fill it out. 33 million, okay, cool, let's do that. The challenge of what will make this a success or a failure in these first 5 years of Brian Gutekunst and his era with the Packers is how does he make the rest of the team good enough given those, you know, salary limitations, knowing that how much is going towards his QB spot.
You know, the other guy that nobody's talking about, and we're talking about this secondary constantly, but HaHa Clinton Dix is an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season. And, and it's not a ton of money. It's $5.5-6 million, but that would be another starting safety to leave should they not decide to retain him. It's a big year for him, too, so you got him on a contract year.
Yeah. I mean, and the Clinton Dix decision is going to be very interesting. You're going to see repeat what he did more back in 2016 and 2015 when he was an emerging guy, or does he repeat 2017 when it was pretty tough to watch, you know? And the Packers don't usually, under Ted Thompson, I'd love to go back and look at the list, but off the top of my head, the number of first-round draft picks who they opted in to the fifth year. You know, when you draft a player in the first round, you get the 4 years on the rookie contract, and then you have a fifth-year option. The Packers declined that fifth-year option under Ted Thompson on almost every player. They did it on Nick Perry. They declined the option of Nick Perry and then gave him that one-year, $5 million contract. They've declined it on a lot of guys, and Clinton Dix, when they kind of opted into it, I don't want to say it was a surprise, but it was a little bit contrary to the norm for what Ted Thompson had been doing. And so, he has a huge year in front of him, because if he does, let's say Clinton Dix goes back to being the guy he was in 2016 in his third year, when it was like, hey, this guy's good now, how much better can he get? You know, when it seemed like his ceiling was limitless, he's going to, you know, if he comes off a good year, you're going to have to give Clinton Dix $10, $11, $12 million per year. Now, if he has another, you know, clunker every year like he did in 2017, you can probably get him back for $4, $5, $6, or $7 million per year. Still a good, decent amount of money, but the Packers, their defense, with how young they are and a lot of those cornerback spots, yes, they have Tremont Williams, yes, they have Devon House. But outside of those guys who are kind of rentals, so to speak, you know, they're one-year bridge-type guys, there's no more Morgan Burnett, you know? There's not that guy in the deep part of the secondary that you can just say, hey, go lead this team. And Morgan Burnett, as we saw year after year, as he got named a captain for the playoffs in the pack for the Packers, voted on by his teammates, by the way, that's a leader that you just don't have. He wasn't a loud voice, but he was a voice. Julius Peppers was voted team captain in the playoffs. So can Clinton Dix not only turn around his year from a, you know, from a perspective of what is he putting out on the field, but is there someone, is he the guy that steps up as the leader, the guy who, if the Packers make the playoffs, you see his value because his teammates vote him as captain, or is he not that guy? So, I mean, yes, a huge, huge year, not just for Clinton Dix in terms of getting paid going forward, but he needs to be a leader back there, a major leader.
Paul, appreciate it as always. We will chat again at the end of the week and into next week as well, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Equinemius Brown, St. Brown, next on the Bill Michael Show. Welcome back. We are glad you are here. Going to hear from, I think it's Equinemius Brown, St. Brown. But then again, we'll find out how he actually pronounces his name coming up here momentarily. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And we are less now than 3 weeks away from Wednesday Night Live. It's back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion stage. That thing, not only is it covered and can hold a couple thousand people, but outside you can squeeze as many thousand people as you want. It's always a party, a lot of fun. Rebel Grace is going to be the band that takes the stage first this season. Wednesday night, May 30th. Look forward to seeing you out there. It's all brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. All right. St. Brown. His first name, Equinemius. How do you pronounce it?
Equinemius. Equinemius. I'm not sure. People are getting it right now. More than ever, so that's exciting.
Do you have a nickname for some of the other guys?
EQ. Yeah, EQ. But I prefer my full name, yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Equinemius. Do not call him EQ. Equinemius. Equinemius.
I feel like I'm at the spelling bee.
You probably see that kid swooning and then he falls over and passes out. Please, Equinemius. Equinemius. Can you please say that again? Equinemius. Can we have a derivative? No. Can I have the definition? St. Brown, wide receiver, Green Bay Packers. Equanimous. There you go. He was asked, what one word would best describe him as a football player?
Who would them describe me? Describe them? Oh, myself. Oh, just one word? I don't know. I don't think there's just one word to describe me. Yeah. I don't think there's one word to describe anybody, really.
Who asked this?
Dominant, smart, driven.
Who asked that question? Who said what one word? When you're trying to do an interview and you're looking for stuff, who says give me one word trying to write a story or do something through, you know, the media on something like that? I don't think he would describe himself as that. I think it began with an S and ended with a T. I wouldn't describe myself that way.
Driven
to blank, maybe, but, you know, because you got to go, you got to go. But, yeah. Come on, man. Describe yourself in one word. And I'd look at the report, I'd say, right now, pissed. One word. That had to be an intern, right? Equanimous, can you describe yourself in one word? I'm writing a 1,000-word story on you. Just, oh my God. Does he feel at home in Green Bay compared to a giant, ginormous, pristine campus like Notre Dame?
Yeah, this is very much like Notre Dame. The town is very much like South Bend. So I'm excited to be in a similar place, and I feel really comfortable being here.
The town is just like South Bend. How about that, huh? You know? We have the Lombardi Pope walking around, you know? I mean, so it's the same as Touchdown Jesus, right? And I guess, you know, kind of a similar type of community. You got the fence painter over there as well. You have, you know, things like that all over South Bend, I'm sure. Well, here's the other question, though, because in reality, you ended up dropping down to the sixth round. So, you know, when you were expected to be a second or a third round guy and you go to the sixth, what does that do to your ego?
It just adds fuel to the fire. You know, I've never been more motivated in my life, so I'm excited to see, you know, what the future holds.
Did people miss on you? Did teams miss on you?
I don't know. We'll see. Good question.
I would just simply smile and walk away from that. You don't want to start pointing out other teams. But, yeah, it should motivate you to play better. You know? I mean, you're only going to get so much money as a six-round draft choice once you make the team, so you got to play for the next contract. Just coming from Notre Dame, give him the edge, because he is a six-rounder.
I think everyone's on the same playing ground coming in. You know, everyone has to play football. It doesn't matter what round you're drafted in. You still got to compete with the other players and, you know, earn your spot.
And he's right. Very smart guy. I mean, he's very succinct, very, you know, get to the point, which still boggles the mind when you ask him to describe himself in one word. But does he feel more pressure to perform after being, the last of three receivers drafted?
There's no pressure. Competition is the nature of the game. I've been competing ever since I was a little kid. You compete on every level, and you just got to, you know, go to work.
There you go. Very succinct, like I said. Did he hear from Notre Dame from his quarterback, DeShone Kizer, after he was selected?
He called me while I was still on the phone with Green Bay, so he was excited, yeah, and I talked to him right after.
Which is cool. You got a familiarity there. You got somebody that you can say, okay, I've you're not walking into a locker room with any unfamiliar faces as just simply the new guy, which is good. So, I mean, you know, he gets that call, the official welcome, so to speak, from a guy that's been there, done that. And DeShone Kizer's also, I mean, he's a new guy coming into that system. It's not like he's been there as a veteran or anything like that. How would EQ, Equanimous, how would he describe DeShone Kizer?
He's a winner. That's what he does. He loves to win, you know, ultimate competitor. He's going to do what he can to help the team win.
And then he was asked, is he glad that Notre Dame's quarterback DeShone Kizer is going to be there with him when he becomes that familiar face in Green Bay?
Yeah. I feel very comfortable that he's here. You know, he can show me the ropes. He's been in the league for a year, and he knows how, you know, do things. So I feel comfortable looking up to him.
He's been in the league for a year, but he hasn't been in Green Bay for a year. You know, both of these guys are like rookies walking through the door, so to speak. He was also asked if he's going to have a connection on the field because he's got that familiarity with DeShone Kizer.
Hopefully he does. I think it will. He's a great quarterback. I think I'll be absolute connection with all the quarterbacks here. So it's just repetition that builds chemistry.
I mean, that's it. I mean, the bottom line, if you start getting starters reps or, you know, two reps, you're going to see a lot more and you'll get the chemistry. But the biggest thing is whatever athleticism you have. I mean, I don't know why he dropped. You know, I mean, a lot of general managers aren't coming out and going, hey, you know what, between you and me, his dad's a nut and we thought he was the next LeVar Ball. That was kind of the rumor. Now, whether that's true or not, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, look, if he goes out and starts catching passes, nobody's going to care if his dad's a nut or if he isn't or if he's just a straight-up guy or whatever. As long as he's catching passes and keeping his nose clean, who cares? And he was asked about, you know, some of the nice catches on those deep balls. Did that make him smile a little
bit? I didn't smile much. I was mainly focused, you know. I was focused on doing my job. They threw a lot of plays at us. You got to take all the knowledge in and just go out there. There's not too much time to smile.
Nope, you got to learn it. You got to learn it right here, right now, because when they get all back together and Aaron Rodgers is throwing you passes, they want and expect you to know where you're supposed to be. How excited is he, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, to be on the same team with Rodgers?
I'm very excited, yeah. That's one of the main excitements of being here. You know, Green Bay, the tradition, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, great quarterback.
Great quarterback, the tradition of the team. He was asked about whether or not the coach at Notre Dame what coach at Notre Dame had helped him the most to get ready to, you know, study football, so to speak, when it comes to the NFL?
I kind of grew up playing Madden, so it was easy for me to pick up plays. I don't know, that's all I think. I picked it up easy, coverages and stuff. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, so that's honestly how I learned coverages from playing Madden, and then I went to college, and they just taught me more of the details.
How about that, huh? You learn coverages from playing Madden on Xbox. Oh, well, there you have it. That was Equanimeous St. Brown. As you get to know him a little bit better, one of the newer Green Bay Packers, the sixth-round draft choice, the wide receiver.
Equanimeous.
Equanimeous. Out of
Equanimeous.
Equanimeous. Please spell that. Equanimeous. Brown, St. Brown, coming out of Notre Dame. Let's do this. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming next. Segment of the Michael Show. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. I am done tomorrow. I will not be here. I am going to be basking in the glow that is Skyline Chili, heading back to Cincinnati. Going to go see my kids, my dad. Some of my family has not even met Sherry yet, so they don't want to meet for the first time at the wedding. So anyway, we are all going to get together tomorrow. And kind of a high school, grade school reunion thing going on Saturday and then heading back on Sunday. So it's going to be a whirlwind, but nevertheless, going to be heading back there later tonight and then kind of spend some time down there. So, look, I'll tell you what, though. If you follow us on the Facebook fan page, and you know me, I post pictures. So if you want to live vicariously through the Queen City, pay attention, because it's always a good time when we head back there. By the way, this portion of the program brought to you by, speaking of having a good time, is brought to you by our good friends over at Quick Trip and also Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, because we have our cigar dinner coming up. And it is going to be Thursday night, June 7th. Thursday night, June 7th, out at the Brewing Company. We are going to be at the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way in Verona. And this is our first one of the season. These things sold out last year. We had so much fun doing them, and they brought them back again this year. And if you want to get tickets, it's at North Sherman Avenue in Madison at the Tobacco Outlet Plus. Also on Willow Road in Wanakee as well. And then the Quick Trip on County Road PB in Verona. There's only 50 tickets available. With your ticket, you get two cocktails, two free drinks. Dinner, which is kind of a three-course, four-course dinner. And by the way, Wood Barbecue is going to be doing the dinner for us. And then four cigars from our friends at Perdomo. Now, Perdomo Cigars is also bringing you this. So it's worth the price of admission, because you get more back in return value-wise than just the money. But if you can make it, we highly encourage you to get out and get your tickets as quickly as possible, because this thing sells out. And they have been all season long last year. Our first one last year, I think we had like three tickets left on the evening that we actually had the first time we did this. And then once word got out, everybody started buying them, and the place just went crazy. So this is our first one in Madison. By the way, for those that have been emailing and calling and wanting to know where the rest are going to be this season, we're going to have one in Eau Claire, we're going to have one in Green Bay, one in Milwaukee, and one in Wausau all this year. So you know. We're going to be in Eau Claire, Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Wausau this year, besides Madison. So anyway, just an FYI, I wanted to let you know that, because we will be coming to hopefully at least an area near you that you can get to us, but we're looking forward to that this year. Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to be talking about the untouchables when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. Is it just simply Giannis, or is there somebody else that needs to stay? Otherwise, you start remaking that roster the best you possibly can. And then there's going to be Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, who is going to join us tomorrow as well. And who is, by the way, Joe, who's going to be on tomorrow for us? For me.
Kevin Holden.
Kevin Holden! Holdy! Everybody's favorite substitute teacher. Going to be here tomorrow. Holdy's going to be here. Talking a lot of baseball tomorrow. So it should be a good one. There you have it. I am out. I will be returning on Monday. Kevin Holden in tomorrow. Hopefully you have a good one. Follow us on the Facebook fan page. As I'm sure, you know, I'll be posting pictures at some point or another. So you can kind of hang out that way. Until then, time for us to go. Have a good one. Sleep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.